You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Local, state, national, even international. We cover down on all of the issues, man. And like the dude just said, we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. Boomer, hour three, man.
Man, woo. It's gone by.
It has.
Wow.
It's Friday. Yes. We're within an hour of turning off the mics and like heading out the door.
Oh yes.
But we got more to cover, man. We're not done yet. Hey, by the way, we've had an open string going on the text line and people are wearing it out. If you want to text in or call in, we don't care either way. 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. We want to know if we do a segment on cacistocracy every week, what sound effect would we have to have? What can you recommend for a cacistocracy sound effect? Cacistocracy, if you're just tuning in, is a word that I learned this week. It's a real word. Cacistocracy means a government run by the least competent members of that society. And there are times when we feel that way. Cacistocracy can be at all levels. It can be your town hall meeting, or it can be the president of the United States. By the way, we had Frank from Madison just texted in. He's pretty new in the text string. No, I take it back. He's actually been in before. This is Frank from Madison. He reminds me that in the 70s, he was a lieutenant in the 326 Engineer Battalion, Airborne and Air Assault. He says, we had a weekly happy hour. We awarded the Carl Friesenheim Award. He says, you remember Carl, Der Führer's engineer responsible for blowing up the bridge at Remagen. Well, yeah, so basically the bridge at Remagen, that was a gaffe, a huge gaffe. So they gave out the Carl Friesenheim Award, and I'm wondering now, that's triggered something with me. I thought, maybe I take Frank from Madison's text and say, instead of doing a whole cacistocracy segment, we give out the weekly cacistocracy award. Boomer, what do you think?
Ooh, that may be good.
Ooh.
I like that.
So we have the... We award the latest example of the winner of this week's Cacistocracy Award. Here's what it is. We just, you know,
that's what it is for the week.
And we have hit the sound effect, and we present the facts that surround the nomination of the Cacistocracy Award.
I like it.
Okay, I think we're headed into something here.
We bring in some. Oh man, that's good.
This is going to develop.
It is.
I can see it. All right. What other sound effects did you get, man? You get more on your list? While I was talking to your dad on the air a minute ago. What else you got?
I got a whole long list. It's almost a page long right now.
That's a ton of them.
I mean, it is. There's so many. They're all great though.
Name me a few of the new ones. What do you got?
All right. So we got on the Blaze, the great cackle, and they gave me specifics. It begins at this time and ends at this time. That's from Libby from Thomasville.
Okay.
And then the theme song from the Twilight Zone was Bert from Owens Crossroads. That was a good one.
That's a good one. Okay, what else you got?
The orchestra warming up, and with the orchestra warming up, and then there's a cackle at the end. That was Mark from Madison. And then they were giving me some ideas for, you know, Friday stuff. So,
Friday
fireworks, and then a loud boom. You know,
well, right now we do need that. So it is Friday. We're in hour number three. So give me that bomb sound again.
Bomb,
you ready?
That yeah. Bomb sound is
Friday. Okay, there we go. All right, that's for right now. That's it. All right, listen.
Spice it up a little.
Hey, let me jump back into serious business here. Serious business. Calm down. Serious business. No, seriously. Serious business. Number two of the triple dipper is Ukraine spillover. So we had a great discussion there in the last hour, towards the tail end of the last hour, with Chris May, who happens to be Boomer's dad. They've got a ministry to Ukraine. I wanted to make sure that we don't ever lose sight of the human factor. It's important that we don't. But in saying that, though, there's a war being fought right now, and there's generally speaking, there has to be an issue of national interest for us to be involved. And technically, we're not involved. Technically, it's what we might call a proxy war. I got a piece here from 1945.com. I found the articles in 1945.com to be pretty solid. Headline dated October 5th, 2 days ago, the Russian military seems to be in full retreat in Ukraine. The author says, the author is a guy named Stavros. He says, Ukraine presses on while Putin retreats. On the 224th day of the war, the Ukrainian forces continue to advance in the east and the south while the Russian military seems to be in full retreat. After weeks of successful Ukrainian counteroffensives, a pattern appears to be emerging. The Ukrainian military has been launching a two-pronged attack from the north and the south, aiming at an enemy-occupied city. Once it is threatening to envelop or has enveloped the city, the Russian forces then retreat, often under heavy artillery fire. The Ukrainian military captures a city and then repeats the process with the next city. That's the basics of urban warfare right there. Using this town-hopping approach, the Ukrainians have managed to liberate large swaths of territory in the east. The Ukrainian military now has the proper manpower and weapon systems, especially long-range precision capabilities with our HIMARS rocket systems, which are apparently having a devastating effect on the battlefield. I mean, I'll be honest with you, folks. We are seeing the generation of intel that we never thought we'd have on Russian capabilities, for that matter, on our weapon systems capabilities. The HIMARS is able to fix Russian forces on a particular position, but also generate a preponderant power, it says, at weak spots in the Russian defenses. It goes on to say, here's what the Ukrainians are claiming. Now, I take it with a grain of salt because the Ukrainians are claiming it. But here are the battlefield, the BDA, if you will, the bomb damage assessment being done by Ukraine. Ukrainian forces claim to have killed approximately 61,000 Russian troops and wounded three times that many. Destroyed 266 fighters, attack and transport jets. 232 attack and transport helicopters, 2,435 tanks, 1,414 artillery pieces, 5,038 armored personnel carriers and infantry fighting vehicles, 341 multiple launch rocket systems, 15 boats, 3,840 vehicles and fuel tanks, and 177 anti-aircraft batteries. Those are huge numbers. I would go ahead and cut those by 30% just because it's coming from the people who are claiming to have done it. But nonetheless, anything half that size is massive. Headline from 1945 there, Russian military seems to be in full retreat. Is this in our national interest? What are we getting for the billions that we're putting in? Boomer, you got clip one there, General Jack Keane. So the person who one of the people that I trust the most when it comes to providing military punditry is General Jack Keane. He also runs the Institute for the Study of War, which provides some of the best analysis on a day-to-day basis. Well, General Jack Keane was interviewed 2 days ago on Fox News. I want you to hear his commentary on what is the return on the investment that we are seeing on the U.S. dollars being spent in Ukraine. Here's his assessment. Go ahead and play it.
$6 billion. What we're getting is Ukraine is doing the fighting. They are literally destroying the Russian army on the battlefield, which would set them back for years and deny them the ability to ever accomplish under Putin any of his ambitions in terms of taking back some of the Soviet republics. And by the way, if that happened, that would mean war with NATO and Russia. And the scale of that would be much greater than what it is right now, and the risk certainly of nuclear war would be much greater. It's something we have avoided all through the Cold War, a conventional war with two superpowers holding strategic nuclear weapons. So for this investment, I think it's well worth it. And what has happened in Florida in terms of natural disasters and suffering of the American people, give them whatever it takes financially to solve that problem.
And they're going to get it.
That has been our history.
To your point, General,
they're
going to get it. And that's never been in doubt. I just don't know if this was an opportunity for those who were opposed to all the aid that we're giving Ukraine and criticizing the fact that much of Europe is not, a point that you've raised, that's one thing. But if we abandon them or cut back at this time, that could be game over right there.
Oh, and where does Putin stop after he achieves a victory in Ukraine, is my point. Right. We are not doing the fighting, and that's critical to what's happening here. Yes, are we funding it? But it's an investment, as far as I'm concerned, investment in the security of our future. And yes, we'll take care of of Americans who were in harm's way as a result of a storm, for sure. That's our history. That's our history. Right.
General. There you go. Stop it there. Good clip. That's one perspective, all right? There's a variety of perspectives on this. There are those, what he was addressing, by the way, this came part of a broader conversation, that interview, and he referenced it back to the thing in Florida. So what's happening right now is there are some who are saying, why are we spending money on Ukraine? We should be spending it all on Florida. Nobody said we weren't going to spend it on Florida. The federal relief dollars for Florida will come as surely as they would if there was not a war in Ukraine. It doesn't matter. What we spend in Ukraine is not going to stop the people of Florida from receiving the aid that they should receive in the wake of this hurricane. That being said, we're spending a ton of money in Ukraine. A ton. But here's my concern, and this is where I have my internal conflict on the issue. I agree with General Keane. I agree with him completely that Putin would not stop at Ukraine. He didn't just want a piece of Ukraine. He didn't just want all I want is a little land bridge over to the Crimean Peninsula, which I also annexed in 2013. No, he wouldn't have stopped there. He has rattled his sabers about some of the former Soviet bloc countries that are now NATO members. He's been rattling his sabers about Finland that just joined. He's been rattling his sabers about the Baltic nations. There's in my mind, this is just Colonel Phil Williams talking, but in my mind, Putin would not have stopped. Had he gained the upper hand and proven to his own satisfaction that he could do what he wanted to do and no one would stop him, that would have been the step one of reclaiming the glory of the former Soviet Union and taking back other territories, some of which would have been NATO countries, at which point we would have been dragged in because of Article 5 of the NATO Convention. That being said, I am conflicted with the amount of money we're throwing on it. I don't see the level of accountability. I don't know that we are literally saying, what'd you do with those dollars? Where'd they go? And I also look at the fact that we are depleting our strategic reserves of arms and ammunition, and I want to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in harm's way. So as we plus up the Ukrainians, give them what they need for the fight, we need to stop Putin. I agree with that. I'm not an isolationist. I believe there are times when we have to step outside of our borders and do something which may not seem in our national interest today, but be worse in our national interest if we didn't do it today. Where I'm concerned is I want to see some accountability on these monies, and I don't trust the Biden administration to make good decisions. All right, we're going to wrap this up when I get back from the break. Let's go ahead and take that break, Boomer. I went about a minute and a half longer than usual. We'll come right back. I'm going to wrap this up. Comments made by our president. Alarmist comments. What is he doing? We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. We're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. 4:24 p.m. right now. Some of you folks are in go-home mode. It is that time of day. It is Friday afternoon, 4:25 now. Why would you not have your car keys in your hand already? Hey, boss, I'm gone. But you may be thinking, too, what am I doing for dinner? Or for that matter, Saturday morning breakfast. Let me suggest something to you. Maybe come Saturday morning, you're like, I don't feel like messing up the kitchen, but I ain't doing a bowl of cereal, and instant grits aren't doing it for me right now, so what am I going to do? How about this? Just Love Coffee Cafe. Let me suggest to you that Just Love Coffee Cafe is like the perfect thing for a Saturday morning in the fall. Wow. Head on down there. We got two locations in our listening area. One of them's on South Parkway in Huntsville, the other on Hughes Road out in Madison. And you go down there and you get, I don't know, let's just take a stab here, one of those treat coffees that Charlene calls them, like a cappuccino or a latte or an espresso. Or you just want them to grind some fresh beans and get a light roast, dark roast, medium roast coffee. And then the breakfast. Oh, man, the breakfast. And they got the waffles, like the Berry 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 waffles. Or they got the womlet, a giant omelet stuffed with everything in the world cooked in a waffle iron. They got biscuits. They got all kind. I mean, literally breakfast like you haven't seen before. It ain't the biscuit you get in the drive-thru. It is good stuff with an environment where you can sit, hang out, use the internet if you want to, the Wi-Fi. And I'm just saying, Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Parkway in Huntsville. Saturday mornings could not be better. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio, too. I'd appreciate it. All right, listen, jumping back to the conclusion of this particular topic, I've been doing number two in the Triple Dipper, the Ukraine spillover. By the way, number three of the Triple Dipper is going to kick off right after the next break, Adventures in Woke World. You're not going to want to miss it. I got some stuff, man. But listen, as we wrap this section up, so President Biden came out yesterday at a fundraiser. He's at a Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee fundraiser. I believe he was in California. And he says he's warning of nuclear Armageddon. So, by the way, when the President of the United States says things, the weight of his office makes the words carry weight. So he hasn't figured that out yet. But when you go out there and you start saying, you know, we gotta be careful. Like, here's his actual comment. Quote, "I don't think there's any such thing as the ability to easily use a tactical nuclear weapon and not end up with Armageddon." Using a word like that when you're describing the war in Ukraine is not the way to inspire confidence, especially when you're a guy who can't read the teleprompter on a regular basis. I mean, it just literally is. And he went on to say, Biden called Putin a guy I know fairly well, said Putin's not joking when he talks about the use of tactical nuclear weapons or biological or chemical weapons as a solution to his military's underperformance. Okay, on that part, I don't disagree. I mean, props where they do. I don't disagree that Putin is getting desperate. But here's a story from the Federalist. The Federalist takes issue with the fact that we're helping. I don't agree with this article entirely, but I found it worthy of part of the debate that we're in. Headline, October 6th, thefederalist.com. Headline is, "As Russia Threatens Nuclear War, Who in This Administration Is Putting America First?" And he says, a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense recently asked the million-dollar question of the moment, is Ukraine worth fighting a nuclear war over? And if not, then we should act accordingly. So the question he poses then is it? He said, if this is the case that Ukraine is not worth fighting a nuclear war over, then how then should we act accordingly? And he goes into all the various responses that should be had. He says, when approaching this topic, he said there's some caveats and principled statements are necessary. Number one, the Russian invasion of Ukraine needs to be condemned. It is. Number two, Putin should be taken seriously. He is. And number three, the use of any kind of nuclear weapons, tactical or otherwise, is going to be a massive escalation. All true. But then he goes on to say, why are we doing this? Is this the right thing for us to be doing? He talks about the fact that General David Petraeus recently said in an interview on ABC that, you know, we would have to respond if they use tactical nukes. I don't disagree with that, though. But this particular author seems to imply that if we just weren't there, things would be better. I don't agree with that. I think we have to provide the ability for Ukraine to put a stop to Putin's advances. Otherwise, what happens next might be worse. In the meantime, I want more accountability. All right, folks, we're going to lighten things up. Last half hour of a Fri-yay. We're going into Adventures in Woke World. You're not going to want to miss this. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, well, we are moving into the next part of the Triple Dipper. I'm calling this one the Ukraine spillover because there's so much being said right now about what could happen outside the borders of the current conflict. and how much we're spending over there, and whether or not it's, you know, the debate is raging right now among even conservative circles about whether we should or should not. If you're a fiscal conservative, you're concerned about the money. If you're a, if you're a security hawk, you're concerned about not spending the money. Some claim the military-industrial complex is having a heyday. Others say, if we don't do this, what happens if Putin just gets a cakewalk across Ukraine? Then what's next after that? I'll be honest with you. I got some mixed feelings on parts of it. There are aspects of spending the money without seemingly, you know, solid accountability that concern me. But I tend to lean towards the idea that if we just let Putin have his day, that it'll be another day and then another day that we'll have to deal with him. It's not going to stop. A despot like Putin does not look at Ukraine as the only target on the horizon. It's a stepping stone, in my opinion, to the next thing. So to some degree, while some may say it's not our national interest, I have to ask, is it in our national interest to allow the dictator of Russia to march across Europe and to hold people hostage to his energy policies? But then at the same time, I also recognize that I don't trust this current administration, and I struggle with that. I do not trust this current administration to make good, you know, solid policy on pretty much anything. And so as I deal with all those issues, I'm reminded constantly of the fact, though, that there's also a human factor. It's easy for me to get caught up in the headlines. It's easy for any of us to get caught up in the dollar signs. It's easy for us to consider whether or not there is a military intervention in our future, or for that matter, what's going to happen if Putin, in a desperate mode, decides to use tactical nukes. All those things are questions that have to be asked, and the debate is worthy to be held. But the other part of this is, for many years, the May family, of which Boomer is a part, by the way, the May family have been my friends for almost as long as, I mean, I don't even remember when they weren't my friends, to be honest with you. But he's been on the air with us several times. Before Boomer ever even joined the show, Boomer's dad, Chris May, has been in studio with us. Because Chris May and his whole family, Boomer included, have had a ministry and a connection to Ukraine that has been ongoing now for the better part of a decade or plus. And he's in the studio with us right now. So, Chris May, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil. It's so good to be with you.
It's good to have you. And by the way, it's just so you know, in this studio, Boomer is not your son. You are Boomer's dad. All right. Okay. So Boomer is elevated in this room, just so you know. But I tell you what, I don't mind saying in front of you and in all of our listeners, Boomer's doing an amazing job. You raised that boy right.
Hey.
You know, thanks, guys.
All right. Don't let go to your head. Get back to work. Hey, Chris, listen, I mean, I my understanding is that even today you've been on the phone dialoguing with friends and associates in Ukraine. And I guess what I want to hear from you is, you know, what's the mood of the populace? What's it like being a civilian on the ground in a country like that right now? What are you seeing and hearing?
Well, Phil, actually I was on the phone. I am involved with a Skype, well, it's not really Skype. I'm actually through Messenger constantly with folks and friends over there. I actually have a young lady that is a director of our ministry in Ukraine.
Yeah,
Minister Mercy's Hope. Anyway, she's an amazing young lady, but she's really headed up our assisting effort, our aid effort over there. And just today, I was on the phone with her. And what really strikes me is this: that it is without hesitation, without stopping, they are under constant, for lack of a better word, oppression of this conflict. She has probably, in fact, she told me several weeks ago that there probably hasn't been a good night's sleep for the last 8 months.
Wow. And if I'm not mistaken, and you correct me if I'm wrong, most of your connections and a lot of the ministry with Mercy's Hope is more South Central Ukraine. Am I correct in saying that?
It is. Yeah, exactly.
So South Central and a little bit towards the east, which is a lot of the conflict zones.
Yes. As a matter of fact, if you've been paying attention at all, there's a city called Zaporozhye.
Yeah.
And Zaporozhye has the largest nuclear plant of all Europe. And we are maybe within 2 hours of that city.
You say we, the central...
The city that we are based out of, yes.
Yeah, which that nuclear plant, there's been a lot of shelling and things happening mm-hmm. around it. Well, so, you know, we don't have to disclose names of anybody. I don't want to put anybody in a bad spot or in jeopardy. But Mercy's Hope as a ministry, though, you guys have had great favor. Yeah. I mean, over the years, you guys have developed connections within government, within mm-hmm. community circles, within the culture itself,
right?
That has given you the ability to sort of come and go mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. to dialogue on a regular basis.
Yeah, yeah.
But I imagine the ministry has had to shift gears a bit since the conflict started.
We focused before this conflict. Our focus was on orphan children
right.
and families. Increasing the awareness of children and the fact that every child really needs a family to grow up in and have that support. Well, since the conflict, it has shifted. It's been more really not just supporting these families and children, but many displaced families coming into our city. Our city, even though it is located where you mentioned, we have not received any direct conflict. In fact, missiles... artillery, you can see it going over the skies. You hear them buzzing, yeah. but they haven't actually hit the city. So many of the displaced families, individuals, people that don't have homes any longer are actually flooding into the city, and it's probably close to even twice as large as what it was.
I mean, it for folks who haven't been in a war zone, it's hard to picture. I can remember... And this is analogous, but not, if you know what I mean. But I can remember the 2011 tornadoes that struck Alabama. Those tornadoes spawned all kinds of side tornadoes, and they marched across long track tornadoes, and they destroyed huge swaths of Alabama. And I remember right here where we are, based in northeast Alabama, that literally the tornadoes kind of split. And Etowah County, where we're sitting right now, became like an oasis in the mm-hmm. middle of northeast Alabama as yeah. there was devastation to our north, south, and even up to our east.
Yeah.
And at that point, then, we are the only ones that had power, mm-hmm. and you could get gas in northeast Alabama. And so people flooded into our county looking for relief and trying to find a way to get gas and just get a moment away from the devastation.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing right now in Ukraine.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, many of our folks on the ground there that are actually from that city are doing an incredible job of ministering and helping the emotional, physical, and even spiritual conflict that many of these families are going through.
Well, let me ask you, what's the morale like of the civilian populace? I mean, because we're seeing on a daily basis, it appears the Ukrainian army is putting the wood to the Russians. I mean, like spanking them. Mm-hmm. And earlier, yeah, when you yeah. were on the show before, you said there were even moments that some people believe were almost like divine intervention on yeah. the battlefield.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But at the same time, it's been going on now for what, 8 months?
Yeah.
And so, how are people doing? What's the general populace mood?
If I had to categorize it, I would say it's a numbing state right now. And what I mean by that is it's just been day after day after day after pressure after pressure. And these incredible, wonderful people have given so much, but it just right now it doesn't seem like there's an insight. So I'm receiving texts all the time. There's one family that is so dear to us, and then there's several, like a pastor's friends of ours are related to this family, and they just went through, she's been keeping me updated, but not just updated on facts, on her perspective of the conflict, and it's wrenching, but what happened just recently is, in fact, a couple weeks ago, she sent me several paragraphs, and this was in the paragraph, if I can read it. It says, and the most difficult thing is, this is just a segment, it's a portion of this long excerpt she sent me, but and she said, the most difficult thing is that you don't know when it'll all end. Now our military is succeeding, returning the occupied cities and villages, and you should be happy, but you can't, because you know the price. Every victory is someone's life. Someone will pay a very high price for this victory. 2 weeks later, her son-in-law was killed in action. Yeah.
Well, that's the human toll. I mean, that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got a son, so she's a Gold Star mom, basically. And so her son died as a civilian, or was he fighting?
No, he was fighting. Her son-in-law. She has three girls. Her oldest girl married this young man, and he was
son-in-law.
Fighting on the,
okay.
So it was a son-in-law, and so he was fighting on the front line, and was killed in action.
So who is she to your ministry, by the way? Is she a friend of the ministry?
She's definitely a friend. She's worked in our ministry, served in our ministry. Her husband is an incredible keyboard player. In fact, Nathan and my sons have played with him before, and while in Ukraine and doing a ministry there. So they're very dear to us. And
Well, so what's next on the ground? I mean, what is the populace seeing? Because, like she said, they don't know when it's going to end.
Right?
Do they have a sense that their country is being led well? Do they have a sense that the U.S. is or is not what they need right now? What are they seeing?
They are very aware of the role the U.S. is playing, and as a matter of fact, it's long past thank you, thank you, thank you. But at the same time, they're so grateful because they do. I think. I would venture to say every person, even the oldest, what we call babushkas, the grandmas in the villages, everybody knows how critical this role of the U.S. and other friends, countries, have played in helping. But there's always the fear that it's going to stop.
Yeah.
And so, but the resolve of those young men and the military is just amazing, to be honest with you.
You heard any more stories about divine intervention on the battlefield? Because those were cool before.
Yeah. Actually, not recently, but
there was one day you said that it was. Tell the story you told me before. I think it was a javelin missile story, wasn't it? What was the one?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what you call it, but it was a flank of Russian tanks along with their support vehicles. So there was maybe 8 to 10 tanks and then other support vehicles. And the Ukraine military, they came up on it, but they were very, very low in number. And so they were like, what in the world are we going to do? And so the story goes that this was coming right through the village. And so they had one javelin left. And even some of the soldiers, the story goes that they were saying, God, increase this javelin, you know, do something more to stop it. Well, he not only stopped, they hit the front one, and then it went on to ignite every single tank and destroy every single tank.
No way.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, the whole thing. It was, who knows how it happened, but I don't know if it hit munitions or what happened, but it just annihilated that whole flank. Yeah.
Well, I know. I can live with that. God of the angel armies.
Yeah, there you go.
Marching in the treetops.
There you go. Yeah. And well, I know that there'll be many more stories. A good pastor friend of mine continually goes to the front line. He has great favor with the military, and they allow him to go all the way to the front line and bring aid to the soldiers and just all kinds of stuff. So he has story after story. He doesn't speak English, so I have to hear this through some of our friends.
Well, I tell you what, Chris, we got to take a break right now.
Okay.
If you could hang around just for a few minutes after the break, I'd love to get your perspective on what is it we're providing over there and what folks can do individually, even maybe to chime in and help, all right?
Okay.
All right, let's do that.
Be awesome.
All right, folks, we're with Chris May. He's my friend of many, many years. He's Boomer's dad, but he's also very involved in ministry called Mercy's Hope to Ukraine. We'll talk about it more when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. I mean, we are down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, over to Gadsden. Got parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Back in the studio right now with Boomer's dad, my friend Chris May, Chris, what, have we known each other for like 30 years or something like that? Absolutely. At least.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. You don't know any stories about me, though, so just stop it all.
It's not Phil Story Day.
It's not. hey, listen, you guys are doing an amazing amount over there. Tell us what it is that you're accomplishing, what Mercy's Hope is actually doing, because you're doing stuff like literally on the ground, mm-hmm. major supplies.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, we're working with several entities, organizations, Mercy Chefs and churches from Moldova, and we're actually bringing in aid that's not easily available to a lot of the bigger cities, Kharkov, Dnipro, and so we're bringing that aid into our location, and then we distribute it from there. So it's like trucks of 55,000 pounds of food, supplies, so forth. So we're very involved in that. We're also involved in personalized ministry, where we go and help families and really try to help them navigate this awful conflict.
You know, what's amazing is I know there was even a time when you wondered, okay, is my season of doing ministry in Ukraine drawing to an end?
Yeah,
right. And this has changed everything.
It has. It really has.
I'd say the need is probably greater than ever.
Yeah.
But if folks want to get, I mean, what can people? Because we have listeners, by the way, that almost every time we have done something, because I love to bring people in who are just local folks doing a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some great folks come in here and sit right there in the chair where you are and tell us about their ministries or what they're doing.
Yeah.
And almost every single time someone calls in and says, how do I support that? So if that's your situation, how do folks support what you're doing?
Well, we would love for anybody to be able to give. And this aid, these funds, anything that's given goes straight to Ukraine. And so the easiest way, the most direct way to do that is to go on our website, which is mercieshope.org. And then on that page, the very lead page, the front page, is a link that says if you'd like to give, you can donate.
All right. And those dollars, when they give, go to what?
They go to several areas. One is our staff and our organization there on the ground.
In
Ukraine, yes. In Ukraine. We don't have a staff here. It's all in Ukraine, and we actually do take part in paying for many of the supplies that are brought in to help people. We also help and support them. We have a physical location there that we help support that. So we have a place to help people. We're right now starting to meet many families, many of these girls that have been just sexually abused that we're helping really to restore what's been stolen from them.
Well, y'all are doing amazing work, and I'm proud for it. Thank you for what you're doing for not just for Ukraine, but for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that being said, folks, if you want to support, it's mercieshope.org. And I've known them for a long time. And full disclosure, I used to sit on the board of Mercy's Hope.
That's right.
Some years past. But yeah. And also, full disclosure, this guy, Chris May, in the studio with me, is the one who designed the Right Side Radio logo.
Well, look at that. You're giving me all kind of props today, Phil.
All that, and you're Boomer's dad.
Yes, I'm Boomer's dad. Well, I'm proud of that.
Well, you should be. All right, man. Well, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for what you and your sweet wife, Karen, do.
Thanks so much, Phil, for inviting me on, and I love this. So maybe I can come back again. If I get some more stories, I'll let you know.
All right. Well, we need them. All right, folks, listen, we're going to continue on. You got the human factor. You heard what's on the ground. You heard about good people doing good things. There's a lot more to the story, and there's the debate raging right now. How is the war considered a national interest of the United States? And are we spending appropriately? And what happens if Putin decides to go nuclear? All of that. We'll talk about it when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.